the 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com newsroom, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. I'm Gary Stevens. This news is brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. After the cloudy, gray, snowy, cold days of the past few days along the lakeshore, it might not be much warmer, but the sunshine brings more hope that we finally are on the other side of that tunnel. A look at Holland's hometown forecast from WHTC.com follows this news. Don't be too misled by the sunshine and maybe a little warmer temperatures. Travel on lakeshore roads continues to be difficult.
Salt does not fix the icy conditions when cold temperatures just won't quit. Local authorities are again asking the public to limit their travel. Parked or abandoned vehicles add to the difficulty of getting roads cleared properly, so get your vehicle out of the road if you can. If you do have to travel, make sure to clear the snow off headlights and turn signals, as well as your rear windows. You should also carry an emergency kit, including blankets, extra gloves, and other things to keep you warm. MSP Emergency Management Coordinator Ron Likes says frostbite can happen quickly.
Basically, frostbite damage to the body tissue caused by extreme cold. A wind chill of negative 20 degrees Fahrenheit will cause frostbite in just 30 minutes. That's brutal out there.
Diane Costin reporting.
It took a while to get an armed man out of a mobile home unit south of Saugatuck Douglas this morning. State police troopers and special services officers used bullhorns, spent a lot of time talking, and even threw tear gas canisters during the night into the trailer in the Johnson Village complex off of the Blue Star Highway. They had been called to the scene on a felonious assault report around 6:30 p.m., and the suspect eventually surrendered without incident at 8:45 a.m. Utility crews were ready to shut off the power and heat in an effort to force the man out, but it wasn't immediately known if that measure had to be used. And a police bomb squad was on standby as a precaution. The complex was cordoned off. Residents and other trailers were asked to stay inside until the situation was resolved, and there were no reports of injuries. The unnamed man was taken to the Allegan County Jail and awaits arraignment on a variety of charges. President Obama unveiled a decisively populist agenda as he delivered his sixth State of the Union address to a joint session of Congress last night, vowing to use executive actions whenever possible if Congress is not more proactive. Local congressional reaction? Well, some didn't have the usual partisan spin that often follows such speeches, such as Fred Upton, the congressman from St. Joseph, whose district includes Allegan County. He was amply surprised by the tone of the president's remarks.
It wasn't nearly as partisan as I was prepared for. I mean, the trial balloons the last couple days, you know, my way or the highway, a whole number of different things, that wasn't in the speech.
He says that many of the proposals that Mr. Obama brought up had both Republicans and Democrats applauding.
I was sitting with Dave Camp, chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, and you know, both he and I were up when the president talked about lowering rates, bringing jobs back from overseas by doing tax reform.
However, to some other people, well, maybe the words or the lyrics of one Steven Tyler is more appropriate.
That's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend.
These are some very consistent themes that I had heard previously on a number of them, and it didn't seem like there was much new ground that was turned over here.
That's Bill Heisinger, the congressman from Zeeland, on the Michael Patrick Shields program on our FM station 92.7 The Van. Many political pundits believe that the president's pledge to invoke executive orders whenever possible to enact his policy, if he does and get his way in Congress, to his satisfaction, will only politically polarize Capitol Hill even more. Now, during the State of the Union address, the president talked about raising the minimum wage to $10.10 per hour for workers involved in federal contracts by executive order, and joined other employers to join him on this.
So join the rest of the country. Say yes. Give America a raise.
However, does the minimum wage actually help or hurt the economy? Depends on who you ask.
Calvin College economics professor John Teamstra says they are split on this issue, which is not unusual for economists. He says it helps people who have little economic or political clout lead better lives in an economy that doesn't always treat everyone fairly.
And this helps fix that a little bit.
Jack Johnston with the Grand Rapids Chamber of Commerce says the money has to come from someplace.
Higher prices, lower return, lower cost of suppliers, or less workforce.
Some employers say better paid workers are more reliable and happier workers. Others say jobs will get cut. I'm Jim Whelan reporting.
The hatchet has been buried on Capitol Hill in regards to a new farm bill, but quoting the great sage Fargorn Leghorn, that hatchet has been buried in the pointy heads of Congress members. The House got first crack today at the five-year legislation that cuts federal food stamp programs by about 1% and more than $20 billion in agriculture programs by eliminating some farm subsidies while preserving others. The long-delayed measure was held up in disputes over those subsidies, along with dairy pricing, crop insurance, and probably more importantly, food stamps. But in the end, as Senate Agriculture Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow admitted, both sides decided to play nice.
We have maintained our respect for each other, and I'm proud of the fact that we've governed. I mean, things are supposed to get done. You make tough decisions, and then you govern.
And the bill did pass the lower chamber as expected this morning, so the Lansing Democrat and her Senate colleagues will have a vote on the measure next week. Presidential signatures coming shortly thereafter. We'll have more agricultural news with WHTC Farm Director Rick Shields following this news. Michigan is not making the grade when it comes to teaching children how to read. According to a new report from the NEKC Foundation, finding nearly 7 out of 10 Michigan fourth graders cannot demonstrate reading proficiency.
Jane Zender Merrill of the Michigan League for Public Policy says the percentage of young readers lagging behind their grade level is even higher for kids from low-income families, and the gap is growing.
So if they're struggling to read, their mastery of other subjects is going to be compromised. And we know that kids, as they fall behind, get discouraged, then they're more likely to drop out before graduating from high school, which is definitely an outcome we don't want to see happening.
The report lists Michigan as one of only 6 states in the nation where fourth grade reading skill levels have not improved over the past decade. While last year Michigan increased its investment in early childhood education, Zender Merrill notes that K-12 spending has dropped 20% since 2003. I'm Mona Shand reporting.
Ironically, Park Township State Representative Amanda Price sponsored a bill last year that would require school districts to hold students back in third grade if they don't show a reading proficiency for third grade during testing. And that bill has been subject to much criticism from educators since it was introduced. All but 2 games on last night's high school basketball slate along the lakeshore were casualties of the weather. As Calvary and Freedom Christian played their contests in Hudsonville, the visiting Crusaders won the boys' match 55-40, but the host Falcons took the girls' encounter 33-17. 5 of the other 8 matchups are rescheduled for this evening, with the Zeeland West and Holland boys game airing on 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com beginning at 6:40 p.m. The girls' teams will meet in Zeeland. Similar situations are slated for Holland Christian and Byron Center. The Bulldogs boys and the Maroons girls are home, as well as Unity Christian and Hamilton. The Crusaders boys and the Hawkeye girls are home. Benville's teams are at Bloomingdale, and Black River squads visit the Potter's House in doubleheaders. Saugatuck's twin Bill at Martin will be in up tomorrow night. Well, there hasn't been any announced rescheduling of the postponed West Ottawa-Hudsonville and Zeeland East Kenawa Hills games. West Ottawa plays makeup contest versus Muskegon Catholic Central this evening, with the Panthers boys at home and the girls heading north. Hope College's basketball teams are at DeVos Fieldhouse for games this evening. You can hear all of the action on our FM station 92.7 The Van and 92.7thevan.com starting at 5:40 p.m. with the Flying Dutch entertaining Olivet, followed by the Flying Dutchman hosting Adrian. In State Major College basketball last night, Michigan State won in overtime at Iowa 71-69. This evening, Western Michigan visits Buffalo. Central Michigan is at Ohio U. Eastern Michigan entertains Bowling Green State. And Detroit is home to the Flames of Illinois-Chicago. Scott Hartnell scored twice and set up another goal as Philadelphia shut out the visiting Red Wings last night 5-0. Detroit welcomes Washington to Joe Louis Arena on Friday evening. T.J. Brody's goal at the 2:26 mark of overtime lifted Calgary past the visiting Blackhawks last night 5-4. Chicago skates at Vancouver this evening. Brandon Jennings' 20 points helped the Pistons beat visiting Orlando last night 103-87. In the NBA this evening, Detroit travels to Atlanta, and the Chicago Bulls play the Spurs in San Antonio. Holland's hometown forecast from WHTZ.com calls for partly cloudy skies, windy conditions through tonight. Afternoon high of 19, evening low of 15. Cloudy and windy tomorrow with some afternoon snow, high of 30, and then cloudy on Friday, high 21. This news has been brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. Check them out online at yourhometownagency.com. I'm Gary Stevens for 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.